surpassed, penetrating and imperfect truth, is seldom met with, even 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Should the Buddha, should the Dharma, should the Sangha. I've been talking about the way in which merit helps us and the way in which the merit of our training can be used by the Eternal to help rescue beings long after our own lifetime. At the same time, we always have to remember that the nature of that merit, the magnitude of it, the ways in which it will manifest, those things are almost entirely beyond our understanding and our vision. I can't overemphasize the need for trust because we simply can't grasp with the intellect or perceive with the senses the nature and activity of merit and the uses to which the Eternal will put it. No magic wand is going to wave, magically make us not subject to disease, old age, and death, and to the many, many, many vicissitudes that are inherent within the transitory nature of existence. So we live with a certain kind of risk, a certain kind of lack of safety, and this works for us in helping us find where our real safety lies. If we want to find real safety and real peace within an unsafe and rather chaotic world, we need to look to meditation. There are the descriptions of how to meditate. There are the so-called rules for meditating. But the whole point of the descriptions, the explanation, the rules, such as they are, is to get us to do something that is really very natural to us. We can do best, we can just relax into something that is already there, rather than thinking that when we meditate, we're, through our efforts, kind of creating something that we call meditation. The point of the effort of meditation is to just get us to be still, get our mind sufficiently concentrated, focused, so that then we can relax into, surrender into the stillness and immaculacy of our own Buddha nature. We're not creating anything, we're not making anything. We're not doing something that's terribly difficult, but it seems awful difficult when the mind is racing and when we're full of tension. And it's funny, when you're full of tension and you try to relax, the harder you try to relax, the tenser you can become. So the effort that we make needs to be a gentle effort and an effort that has compassion for our humanity. That is, compassion for what we bring to the meditation each time we do it. If we bring a racing mind, if we bring a load of tension, if we bring fear, the compassion for that racing mind, that tension, that fear, manifests as just letting it be there and just sitting there and breathing in and out long enough to allow it to calm down. The default position for all of these states lies within the Buddha nature, not in the disturbed karma. So given the chance to calm down, things will calm down. There is within the Buddha nature perfect safety a perfect refuge. Not almost perfect, but perfect. It's what everyone is seeking. It's already there within them. It's a place free from worry, free from distress, free from fear. The place of immaculacy. The less we have to lose when we meditate, the more readily we find it. In other words, the less we're hanging on to external, the more readily we find that inner stillness and peace, that place of perfect refuge. If you want a good description of what that is like, there is no better description than the commentary by Great Master Dogen on the precepts. So, to end this talk, I'm just going to read commentary on a few of the precepts. Emphasizing an aspect of immaculacy, an aspect that is the kind of inner truth of that particular precept, the way in which that precept points to immaculacy. So here's the precept: do not be proud of yourself and devalue others. And the commentary is, every Buddha and every ancestor realizes that he is the same as the limitless sky and as great as the universe. When they realize their true body, there is nothing within or without. When they realize their true body, they are nowhere upon the earth. So in other words, if instead of being proud, you find true humility, which is really to realize how great is the eternal and how you can just be nothing within the eternal. You can be nothing. And then there is the vastness and the purity of the whole universe everywhere. And you have dissolved within it. What you call you is dissolved within it. Then the real you manifests, and it is as great as the universe. Here's the wonderful commentary to do not be angry. There is no retiring, no going, no truth, no lie. There is a brilliant sea of clouds. There is a dignified sea of clouds. In other words, the opposites are not the reality. The reality is the immaculacy of the universe. Here's do not covet. The doer, the doing, and that which has the doing done to it are immaculate. Therefore, there is no desire. It is the same doing as that of the Buddhas. Here's do not steal. The mind and its object are one. The gateway to enlightenment stands open wide. Do not kill. No life can be cut off. The life of Buddha is increasing. Continue the life of Buddha. Do not kill Buddha. Here's really beautiful one. The commentary, do not say that which is not true. The wheel of the Dharma rolls constantly, lacks for nothing, and needs something. It needs us to do our part, to live truthfully. The sweet dew covers the whole world, and within it lies the truth. Our true refuge lies in this wholeness, this cleanness, and this transcendence of worldly attachments, worldly concerns, worldly worries, worldly ideologies, worldly cares, worldly grasping, worldly resentment. In this way, we can live within this world of suffering as if in the sky. Just as the lotus is not wetted by the water that surrounds it.
Amen. Show the Buddhas in all worlds. Amen. Show the Buddhas.